It's time to talk technical analysis here on Money Life. I am joined right now by John Kosar, Chief Market Strategist at Asbury Research. If you want to learn more, asburyresearch.com, the website, also asburyinvest.com. John Kosar, thanks for joining me again on Money Life.
Chuck, hi, how are you?
I'm well. And I have to say, you know, we've talked a bunch of times, but I've been really impressed dating back to a year ago when the market at this point was heading into real trouble. I've been really impressed talking to like all the technical analysts, because while they've had borderline differences in what their calls have been, the truth is, while everybody else has been worried about market fundamentals and what was happening and, oh, is this rally real and all those other sorts of things, the technical analysts have pretty much been spot on. So I'm starting to wonder, is your job easier than I think it is?
No, it isn't. It isn't easier, but if you know to watch the data and not try to be a fortune teller or get outside of your wheelhouse and try to figure out what's going to happen with COVID or who's going to win the election. Ironically, those are two of the questions I get if I speak to a large group. It's, how's COVID going to resolve itself? Or when do you think, you know, we're going to have a vaccine? Or who's going to win the election? Nobody knows that stuff. So I try to simplify. I mean, I've been doing this 40 years now, and I focus on the data now and not trying to be a fortune teller. You know, if the data says buy, if the asset flows are coming into a certain place in the market, that's where I am. If I see those assets coming out of there, I'm gone too, and I'm looking for a new place.
So what are the numbers and the asset flows telling you right now?
It's been interesting. Back in November, one of our in-house models that measures flows in the sector space started showing pretty aggressive inflows into the energy and financials sectors. And that happened at a kind of a unique time, because if you recall at that time, fourth quarter, certainly beginning of the fourth quarter, tech was kind of dead in the water. It was, you know, if you looked at, you know, the NASDAQ indexes, they were drifting sideways. There was money coming out of tech. So my question was, unless something else picks up the baton here, if the market's going to roll over, it's going to go down, because tech typically leads up and down. So what happened here is I started seeing flows go into financials and energy, and those two, the flows going in there were able to overcome, you know, sideways kind of, you know, the bland kind of action that was going on in technology at the time. And now tech has kicked back in. So now you have tech, financials, and energy that are all attracting dollars. And that's been enough to make the market really pretty resilient, even though it's extremely overdone. The S&P 500 is around 16, 17% above its 200-day moving average. That means it's out over its skis, historically overextended. But as long as these flows keep going to the right places, you know, like I tell my clients, as long as the music's playing, we keep dancing. So we're invested, and we have been since November.
If we had to try to put levels on it, are we at a market that can continue to go forward without suffering some sort of major setback because we've got all of those economic underpinnings? Or are the technicals saying we're maybe a little bit frothy right now, we need to take a breather?
Well, both. We're frothy. Put call ratios are very low. Investor sentiment is way too bullish. You know, the market's overbought by whatever measure you want to look at. That tells you the market's over its skis. You know, I had mentioned the S&P 500 being way above its 200-day moving average, historically high. But then if you look at the tactical stuff, volatility is low. There are asset flows going into the SPDRs and the Qs, which are the ETFs that track the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ 100. Corporate bond spreads are narrow. So all of those shorter-term internals, tactical metrics is what we call them here, those are still positive. So until that changes, you know, you realize you're probably in the bottom of the eighth, top of the ninth of the move that started back in March of last year, but the game's not over yet. So as long as there's, you know, there's guys on the field, you know, you stay in your seat. The other thing that I think is a little bit more simpler for your audience to watch. The S&P 500 has really been respecting the 50-day moving average as a support level. In fact, when we had that little kind of drift down at the end of January, it tested the 50-day on the 29th of January, and I think it was the first. It was the first week of Feb, and then it was off to the races, and we're back to fresh highs here. So if you're kind of trying to do this from home, so to speak, keep an eye on the 50-day moving average in the S&P. You don't have access maybe to some of the more arcane stuff that we're looking at here, but underneath the 50-day moving average, that's when you should kind of take a look at what you own and have some kind of an exit plan in place so you can keep some of these pretty nice gains we've made since the fourth quarter of last year.
Even with the market being frothy, ultimately what that means, although, again, you might be pulling things out if we get below the 50-day moving average, but what it really means is that, at least for the time being, if we have a setback, it's more a buying opportunity than a time to flee.
No, I don't agree with that.
Okay.
The market, it typically reverts to the mean. It's kind of a mean reversion animal. So the farther you get above the 200-day moving average in the S&P 500, the more frothy you are in terms of investor sentiment is really bullish. Put call ratios are low, which means everybody wants to be long and nobody's afraid of the market going down. That's when bad things happen. So how I'm looking at this is when we get the inevitable correction, which, by the way, February is a very seasonally weak month in the S&P 500, because it is a mean reversion animal, I think the likelihood that we get something in the 10% plus range, it doesn't have to be a devastating, just horrible collapse like we had in February or March of last year, but something 10% plus, something maybe that takes us back to the 200-day moving average or something like that. I think that is much more likely now because the market is just so totally fearless. You know, the Fed basically came out last year and said, we're not going to let asset prices go down. So you've got this kind of inherent bias that we don't have to worry about it. You know, the Fed's got our back. That's typically when bad things happen. So I would say no. I would say when the market starts falling and some of our more tactical internals start to turn negative, I'm looking for something bigger. And then ultimately, yes, I mean, if we get a 15 to 20% drop and we come into a support level, I'm going to be buying this with both hands. But I am not kind of looking at this as being something where you don't have to worry.
John, great stuff as always. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks. Take care.
That's John Kosar, Chief Market Strategist from Asbury Research. AsburyResearch.com. Stick around for the Market Call. It's next.